Tonight I'd like to focus on really the second aspect of this message, and that is, what is the right focus for faith? Do you have the right focus for this kind of faith? Because there are many people that can have faith in various things. You can have faith in things that aren't living, inanimate objects. I was talking about jumping off the stage and having faith or trust, if you will, in this floor. But the greatest example and the greatest analogy of faith is not in a thing, but in a person. You see, faith is not ignorant and it is not blind. It is based upon something. Rather, for a Christian, it's based on someone. And we really need to understand that our faith ultimately rests on a person. This is the focus of our faith. Do you have a focus, the right kind of focus for your faith? There are people that have a belief or a faith in heaven, or they have a belief in a God, or they have a belief in going to church and becoming right with God. But ultimately, the right focus of faith is not going to church. It's not even studying the Word of God. It's not just believing that there is a God, but rather the focus is on a certain person that is found in the Word of God. Faith has content. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see some of the content of the faith of these people. We have seen that by faith these people live. For example, in verse 4 and 5, by faith Abel lived, by faith Enoch lived. But what was the content of their faith? We're going to be looking at this a little bit more in depth over the next several Sunday mornings. But look at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe what? Here is the consideration that you and I must have before or as we have this faith in our lives. It must be that he is. There has to be a belief, a consideration of the mind, a conviction in the heart, a commitment to this truth that there is a God. And when you truly have faith and believe and trust that there is a God and God exists, that is going to revolutionize your life. You've heard the phrase, practical atheist. People that say they believe that there's a God and yet live as if there is no God. And yet we need to understand that as a Christian, the basis of faith, the content is that there is a God and we will live as if there is a God. We're not going to live as we are the gods or that someone else is the God, but we are going to believe and live as if there is a true God and He is revealed in the Word of God. What else does this content show us? Not only must we believe that He is, again, there are people that believe that there's just a force, a positive force that is out there somehow, that is created all these things, or that He set things in motion to let things evolve. But the content goes further. It also says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Again, part of the content of these great saints' faith was that He is a rewarder. In other words, there is a personal nature, a personal aspect of this God. He is not just some thing in the cosmos that you have to believe in, but rather He is someone who has a personality and is seeking to reward them that diligently seek Him. He is a God that wants to be known, and He is a knowable God. And this is what we need to believe as Christians, is that God exists and that God is a person, and as a person, He is knowable. We can know Him, and He has revealed Himself so that we can know Him. This should also revolutionize your faith. Because when you see that you believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, when you seek Him, what's going to happen? You're going to find Him. And when you have questions, and you present them to the Lord, what is He going to do? He's going to answer those questions. When you knock, what is He going to do? He is, as a personal, living God, He is going to answer the door. He's going to answer that knock. This is the kind of content that we must have as the basis of our faith. Again, there's another verse in verse 3. What are some of the content of faith? Verse 2 it says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. And then it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. There is so much in those verses that we really could spend an entire evening just looking and taking that verse apart and seeing the content of this. But again, when we consider that God exists and that there is a, and God is a personal being, here we have, not only is He a personal being, but He is a being that created everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, so that we can be pointed to Him in a greater way. You realize that much of what was, of what has been created, is for the purpose of displaying Himself to us, so that we can know Him better. There is an aspect or an area of theology called natural theology. And this is talking about how you can learn about God in nature. And the Bible very clearly teaches that the heavens declare the glory of God. If your mind is sensitive to the things that you that are around you, you can see the majesty. You can see the infinity. I mean, just consider the universe in which we live. And how in our mind, we were talking about this at the team night, in our mind, the universe extends infinitely. So in our minds, we have a sense of what infinity is, and yet truly God is even more infinite than that. And so we consider even the beauty of the, as the sun rises and it heats, we can learn from the sun how God is light and how in Him is no darkness at all. And so He uses these illustrations even from the natural world. Why? To point us to Himself. To point us to Himself. The Bible says that everyone in the world has this witness so that they are without excuse. But that, it doesn't stop there, because not only does God exist and we have to believe that, not only is God a person and we have to believe that, not only is God someone that is going to create this world to point people to Himself, and we believe that, but it continues on concerning the content that He is a God that provides a home for those that trust in Him. Verse 13, again, these all died in faith, and that verse refers to the patriarchs that were mentioned in these verses. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, these promises, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Lord offers precious promises to His people. This also, a knowledge of this, ought to sink down into our heart, and give us a firm conviction that these promises were not just for them in the Old Testament, but these promises were also for us today. And when we are convinced of them, when we're persuaded of them, when we embrace them, and when we confess that we're strangers, it's going to again revolutionize our faith, which will in turn revolutionize our Christian living. That is why it is so important for us to realize that faith is not ignorant, it's not blind, it is based on something. And rather, it is based on someone. Because ultimately, the greatest promise that we see in this verse, the greatest promise is the promise of God with us. Because not only is He a God that exists, not only is He a personal God, not only is He a God that brings to being things in this world to point people to Himself, but He is a God, because of our sin, who has condescended to men of low estate. And He has sent His Son Jesus Christ in order for us who have a hard time believing what we can't see. He sent Jesus Christ into the form of man so that we could trust in Him. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus is and what He has done. He is the content and the focus of our faith. That is where our faith must lie. It must lie in the person and the work of Jesus Christ as revealed to us through the Word of God. The more you know about Christ, the more you will have faith in Him. We talked about this morning how if you want to increase your faith, if you want your faith to grow, you've got to go to the source. The source, of course, is God Himself, but the source here is also the focus of faith, and that is Jesus Christ. The more you know about Christ, the more you will increase your faith. Because Christ is not relegated just to those four Gospels that we see in the New Testament. I've heard people say if you want to know Jesus, you've got to look at the Jesus of the New Testament. You've got to look at the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But see, Jesus is not just relegated to those few books. Jesus Christ is in all the books. Jesus Christ and His nature and His perfection, His attributes, everything about Him we see from prophet, priest, and king are all contained here in the pages of every single book that we have in our Bible. And that is why learning about Christ can be a lifelong study. Have you ever considered looking in the books of Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus and looking for Christ in those books? Because the more you see that Christ is in those books, you will also realize that He is something or someone that you can believe in and trust. He's trustworthy. You can see that it was prophesied of old. We need to realize that we have to have the right focus of faith, because faith in and of itself does not save. Faith in and of itself does nothing for a person. Many people have faith in God or a God and cannot be saved. But rather, your faith must be in the one who has the power to meet the deepest need of your soul. And that is the difference between the belief, if you will, of the demons and the belief of a God of some tribe in Africa that has never heard the name of Christ. The difference is knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who can meet the deepest need of your soul. And this has affected your mind, it's affected your heart, it's affected your will, and it's affected your everyday living. The power to save you does not rest in the amount of your faith, because we realize that we can't have faith that is, as Christ said, even the size of a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't matter about the amount of your faith, or even the strength of your faith. I've known men and women that have great strength in faith, but rather it is in the object of your faith. This is where the power to save us lies. This is where it is. It has nothing to do with whether I have faith or not, but rather who my faith is in. I can have faith in all sorts of things and all sorts of people and not be saved and not have a saving, life-changing faith. It rather is in the person in which we have to have faith. That is the focus of our faith. Paul had the right understanding and focus of faith. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, this passage here talks about what Paul believed concerning Christ. Paul had the right understanding of faith. He understood that faith was a matter that was a matter of the mind, heart, will, and life. He realized that it was an all-consuming thing, an all-consuming faith, but he also realized that it was a faith in one person. He had the right focus of faith. Philippians 3, beginning verse 8, we read, Paul writing, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Let's stop there for a moment. Would you be willing to give up everything that you have today in order for you to learn a little bit more about Christ? If God came to you and said, "I will give you a knowledge of Christ that you've never had before, but you would have to give up everything. You couldn't live in your house anymore. We'll put up a room down here in the church so you can stay. You have to give up all the clothes that you will wear, all the nice things. You have to give up your vehicle. Give up all these things. Would you be willing to count all things but loss? Willing to give it all? Just for the knowledge of Christ." All of them. He understood that his faith had to be all-consuming. His desire to learn and love and have faith in Christ alone as the focus of his faith, he realized that had to be the be-all and end-all to his life. Again, he says, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And we continue, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." You see, it wasn't just a theoretical position that he was giving. It was something that actually happened to him. He says, "I have suffered the loss of all things." He was a man that received a lot of wonderful things, I would imagine, as the great persecutor of the church. He probably had a nice home. He had probably had some nice possessions. He was paid very well. He had a place to rest his head every night. He had a wonderful wardrobe to wear. He had people at his beck and call. He had servants, I'm sure. And yet, because he sought the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord, more than anything else in this world, he suffered the loss of all things. He traded a pillow on his bed for a cold, hard stone wall that he would lay against as he was chained between Roman guards. He gave up his freedom to go to and fro throughout the kingdom as a Roman citizen so that he would be chained in a dungeon and have his freedom restricted. He gave up all those things because he realized his knowledge and faith in Christ as the focus of his faith was more important, was more valuable than anything in this life. That is faith. That is the faith that we've been looking at this morning. That is the faith that we need in our lives as well. He goes on, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung." The things that he did have, he counted it as refuse so that he might win Christ. Verse 9 says, "He also did this so that he could be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And look at the focus of his faith. Verse 10, he says, "This was the whole point of this faith. It was so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Here we have the understanding of faith as well as the focus of faith in view. In verse 10 especially, if you'll note that phrase, he says that I may know him. His faith, Paul's faith, was a matter of the head. The focus of his consideration was Jesus Christ himself. His goal in faith, his purpose and focus in his faith was so that he could know Christ. That was his goal. That was his objective. That was his aim for his entire life. Now you might say, well, that's good for a preacher, that's good for a missionary, that's good for a Sunday school teacher, but it's not good for me. We need to understand that this was written by Paul, a great man of God, a great missionary, a great preacher, a great pastor, but it is the design for every single believer to have the same intense focus of faith. And that is to know and have a consideration and an understanding more and more about Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? How much do you know about him? You know, the more that you know him, the more that you're going to love him. The more that you love him, the more that you're going to live for him. The more you live for him, the more people will see a difference in your life. And the more difference that people see in your life, the more people could be attracted to him through your life. What a wonderful thing for you and I to be able to have is a knowledge of Christ. Paul the Apostle realized that faith was a matter of his head and his focus was to know Jesus Christ. But it goes on. It wasn't just a matter of his head, it was a matter of his heart. It goes on in verse 10 and says that I may know not only just him, but the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. His was a faith, was a matter of the heart, and the focus of his confidence was in the power of Jesus Christ. He knew and was confident in the power of Christ's resurrection. If Jesus Christ could raise himself again from the dead, I can trust and fix my heart and soul upon him and his power to raise me up at the last day. This was how he fixed his heart on the Lord. Do you fix your life on the Lord? Do you fix your heart on the fact that he has the power to change your life? He has the power not only to raise you up at the last day, but he has the power to change your life today, to serve him and to please him and to live for him every single moment. To be able to witness to those that need to hear the gospel. To be able to go and to help those in need. He has empowered you with gifts and abilities to go out and to serve him in this world. Do you really believe in the power of his resurrection? A power that displayed his deity. It displayed his love. It displayed the future for you and for myself. It was the power that was displayed there on Pentecost when the apostles and the disciples there were in that room and the Spirit of God descended upon them and they were able to speak in tongues and they were able to do mighty works and mighty miracles. We need to realize that that same power of his resurrection is not just something that is in the past, but it is something that is able to change lives today, and we need to fix our heart upon that. It is a matter of the heart. This is what we can live for. This is what we can trust in. But Paul also said, not only was it a matter of his head that he may know him, and a matter of his heart so that he could be confident in the power of his resurrection, but also it was a matter of his will, because he wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. The focus of Paul's conviction was on the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. We know how Christ suffered. We all know how Christ suffered and how how terrible it was to be at the receiving end of that cat of nine tails that would literally rip the skin right off your flesh, and then to be nailed to the tree, nailed to that cross, and crucify the greatest and most painful death. And yet Paul wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. Now that's a commitment. That's a conviction. That's an understanding that this way may not be a bed of roses. It may not be a beautiful path from the world's perspective, but it's the greatest path because it is a path of faith and a path that will show the power of God in your life. But Paul also realized that his faith was not just a matter of these things, but also a matter of his life. He said he wanted also to be made conformable unto his death. The focus of Paul's commitment was to the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. He wanted to be made conformable unto his death. Do you want to be like Christ? This is what faith does. Real faith, faith that is saving faith, faith that is life-changing faith, is a faith that will desire to be like the one you believe. In all aspects of life, consider the purity of Christ. Consider the passion of Christ and the compassion of Christ. Think of the knowledge of Christ. Think of the ministry of Christ and how he was able to share the gospel, the kingdom, and of himself. All aspects of Christ we should desire to emulate, but he's not just an example or a good moral character. He is the absolute focus, the Son of God sent down into this world for us to believe in. This is faith. For Paul, Christ was his all in all. And this is the focus of real Christian faith. This is our focus, and it ought to be our focus. Is Christ your all in all? Do you have this kind of focus? A focus that is a matter of the mind, a matter of the heart, a matter of the will, and a matter of the life. And the focus, the focal point, is Christ. He is the fulcrum, if you will. He is the one that all things will go to and rely upon. He is the one that you must believe in. How does this happen? In Hebrews 11, no need to turn there, but as we see these men and women living by faith, this is what it's like to have Christ as the focus of your faith. We're going to see some amazing things about faith in these passages. They could never have lived by faith until they first had faith. And the only way they could have faith and live by faith was, as it says in 10:38, they had to be just. They had to be believers. They had to become Christians. They had to be justified by God in order to have a living faith that they could live by and serve God with. So before we look at these verses and see what faith does, we needed to go back and look at what faith is and have the right understanding that faith is not just a matter of one aspect that we've looked at, but like those facets on a beautiful diamond, each one in and of itself is beautiful, but it will not shine until they are all together. Faith is a matter of all those aspects of your being. It's a matter of your mind, heart, will, and life. You cannot separate it one from another. They've got to be there together, weaved in your life in order to have a faith that you can live by. If faith is just a matter of the mind and not a matter of anything else, how would these people have really been able to live? Would they have been able to do and accomplish great things for God that we will see here? Great exploits, even as David's men did by faith? We wouldn't have seen it if it was just something that was something in the head and not something of the life. But what about if it was just a matter of living? You and I could do some good things, if you will. We see people doing good things and good works all around us. But is that real faith? No. Faith is a matter of all aspects of your life. Someone can put on good works and yet not have saving faith. We have to live by faith and not by sight. But before we can live by faith, we have to understand what it is. We have to possess it. We have to have the right focus. And as I mentioned this morning, you can only get the faith from the source of faith. There's a couple other verses I wanted to look at this morning, but I didn't have time. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, a very familiar passage about faith. Sometimes we take verses 8 and 9 and mash them together as if they were one, but I really just want to focus on verse 8 of Ephesians 2. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What is the gift of God in that verse? It's the faith that God provides. The gift. And the grace is that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do any works. This is grace. Because we couldn't. God's grace is so that we do not have to do things that He knows we can't and are unable to do. But He gives us faith. He's the source of our faith. And the more we know about Him, the more we love Him, the more we grow with Him, even as Enoch was translated by God. How did he have this kind of faith that he walked with God? Because God and him communed together, and God gave him that faith that he needed. You see, you and I, as human beings, have a real hard time believing things that we don't see. I do. Think of Thomas. Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead unless I can take my hand and stick it in his hands and in his side. I'm not going to believe unless I do that." We're like Thomas. "I'll see it, or I'll believe it when I see it," he said. And the kind of faith that we see in the Scripture is even more so necessary for us to believe and trust, because there's a lot of promises that we do not see with our eyes. We do not feel it with our hands. But when God gives us this wonderful blessing, this wonderful gift of faith, you know, we can see things through faith that the rest of the world can't see. We can feel things through faith that the rest of the world can't see. We can taste and see that the Lord is good, because through faith we can have these senses, these spiritual senses exercised that the rest of the world cannot understand. But it's because it's given by God. Another verse that says so is in Philippians, just a book over. Philippians chapter 1, if you will. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. This will be our last verse that we look at. Paul again writes to the Philippian church, "For unto you it is given," again a gift, "for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." He does give us the ability to believe and to grow in our trust and to grow in our belief, but not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. This is given to us in the behalf of Christ. We need faith. We need to be stronger people of faith. We need our faith tested and strengthened. We need our faith to grow. And the only way it will grow is if we look to the Lord and ask Him for it to grow. As I mentioned, Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And the more that we look at the Word of God, and the more we understand with our mind, the more we are convinced in our heart, the more we are committed to our life as well, the more He will teach us of this faith as well. It will grow as a baby grows. Do you have the right focus of faith? Because if you want to live by faith, as we saw in Hebrews 11, we're going to have the right focus of faith as well. So I hope this morning, as well as tonight, we've understood something of the foundation of faith. And beginning next week, we're going to get into Hebrews chapter 11. But we must never forget this foundation. And the foundation is this. In order to live by faith, you've got to have it. I can't live by something that I don't have. And in order to have it, you've got to understand it. You've got to have the right focus. And so always, 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 as we're looking through Hebrews 11, this foundation must be present. And we must realize that every single one of the people, every single one of the characters that we see did not live by some faith that was a blind leap in the dark. It wasn't something that was ignorant. It was not something that was just a small part of their life, but rather it was involving all of themselves, their mind, their heart, their will, their life, and they had the right focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they grew. And they became known for their faith. And they demonstrated that faith in amazing ways, and so will we. Once we understand it, we can live by it. Shall we close in prayer? We again, Father, thank you that you have given us faith in Christ, and you have also given us the desire as Christians to grow in our faith. You gave that desire to your disciples. You gave that desire to the man that we looked at this morning who had a son that was possessed of a devil. And so, Lord, we come with that desire tonight. Lord, I don't know about the rest of the people here this evening, but I know that I am weak in faith, and I do desire to be strengthened. And I realize, Lord, that I cannot work up faith. I've tried. I've tried to believe more. But Lord, I realize that it's not something that I can work up. It's something I can look in the Word. But Lord, I do desire that you will increase my faith. That you will strengthen my faith. That you will cause my faith to grow. Lord, you've given us means by which you will do this. One of those means is what we are doing here tonight, and that is coming together to hear the Word of God and to worship. This is a means by which you provide faith. And Lord, we need to avail ourselves of the means through prayer and through the Word of God, through witness and testimony, of hearing other praises and how you have worked in their lives and other demonstrations of your promise. Lord, we realize that we are in a desperate situation unless you help us. So Lord, help us to have the right focus of faith tonight. Help us to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is he alone that can save us and sanctify us and bring us home to be with you. Help us to have the right focus, even as Paul did, and help our faith to be all-consuming in our life. Lord, help our faith. Increase it. We pray and trust that you will. Go with us this week, Lord. Help us to learn more about faith and become men and women of faith. Lord, I thank you that there are men and women here that have demonstrated the faith, as we will see in Hebrews 11 throughout. And they have demonstrated this faith. I've seen it. Others have seen it. So, Lord, I pray that we will be able to do those great exploits as these others have done because of the faith that we have. We ask these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, the sole focus of our faith. Amen.